Broadway has been rating Hollywood scripts for several years as a source for new musicals with varying degrees of success. The Producers and The Lion King are enormous hits. Saturday Night Fever and Sweet Smell of Success flopped. Last night, a new musical based on a movie opened on Broadway. The source is a little less mainstream, a film by cult movie director John Waters. Jeff London has the story.
John Waters, the auteur who sets his films in trailer parks in the working-class neighborhoods of Baltimore, says he's tickled to see his movie Hairspray come to life as a big Broadway musical.
The first time I saw it, I almost cried. You know, it was just, like, amazing to me, especially sitting as we are right now in the empty Broadway theater. You know, the Neil Simon Theater, you can't get much bigger deal than that. And see formstone houses on the stage and people singing Good Morning Baltimore. It is beyond irony.
Hairspray is about an overweight teenager named Tracy Turnblad, played in the movie by Ricky Lake, who stars on an American Bandstand-type TV show in the early 1960s and helps integrate it. Broadway producer and Baltimore native Margot Lyon had the idea to turn Hairspray into a musical. One of her first calls was to composer Mark Shaiman, who has written the scores to dozens of Hollywood films, including South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
She kind of put two and two together that anyone who worked on the South Park movie, which was a full-out musical, and a musical with a kind of subversive feel to it, would be right for Hairspray. And it was a great idea on her part, if I do say so myself.
Good morning, Baltimore. There's the flasher who lives next door. There's the bum on his barroom stool. They wish me luck on my way to school.
The musical's 1962 setting lets Shaiman play with all kinds of pop music styles, from the Phil Spector sound of Good Morning Baltimore to rhythm and blues numbers, all the way to songs with a Frank Sinatra Rat Pack flavor. Shaiman co-authored the lyrics to Hairspray with writing partner Scott Whitman, who is also his life partner of over 20 years. Regardless of the musical style, Shaiman says he and Whitman constantly looked for ways to translate John Waters' sensibilities to Broadway.
Our love duet between the parents, we tried to make John Waters' style complimenting a person by saying the most seemingly uncomplimentary thing, like how the husband says to the wife, "Oh, you're like a stinky old cheese, babe. Just getting riper with age." So that's how John Waters, that's how we tried to keep his spirit alive.
Oh, baby, don't you realize, come what may, you'll always be my joy buzzer. Styles keep a-changing, the world's rearranging, but Edna, you're timeless to me. Hemlines are shorter, a beer costs a quarter, but time cannot take what comes free. You're like a stinky old cheese, babe, just getting riper with age.
Your Timeless to Me is sung by Edna and Wilbur, Tracy's parents. The John Waters twist, of course, is that Edna is played by a man. In the movie, the late Divine, a frequent Waters collaborator, played the role. On stage, the part is sung by the gravelly-voiced actor and author Harvey Fierstein.
Fads keep a-fading, Castro's invading, but Wilbur, you're timeless to me. Head to the higher, mine feels like barbed wire, but you say I'm chic as can be.
Either way, Waters says it's not a typical drag role.
You know, kind of a redneck housewife is not a look drag queens are really after. So I think it adds even more of an edge to it, to have a man playing a loving mother in a very believable way, and it's never mentioned that he's a man.
Hey mama, take my hand.
First, let's make a pit stop at the wiener stand. Oh, Tracy, it's been years since someone asked me to dance.
Hairspray is all about not taking things at face value, accepting and embracing people for who they are. Balancing the show's serious underlying themes while keeping a light touch was quite a challenge, says the show's co-author, Mark O'Donnell.
Our producer, Margot Lyon, kept us from getting into the heavy-handed on the one side or the flippant on the other. At one point, I had Tracy saying, "I know, let's put on a protest." But that, perhaps, was getting a little too close to camp.
O'Donnell says filmmaker John Waters also gave them advice.
He comes in every 6 months and advises us on vocabulary. A couple times he said it's getting a little dangerously close to Hallmark cards there.
Hey, you twist and shout for your favorite star, and once you've practiced every step that's in your repertoire, you better come on down and meet the nicest kids in town. Ha! Oh, nice white kids who like to lead the way, and once a month we have our Negro Day. And I'm the man who keeps it spinning round, Mr. Corney Collins with the latest, greatest Baltimore sound.
The other challenge the writers faced was taking Waters' somewhat sprawling movie and simplifying it. At the same time, O'Donnell says that he and co-author Thomas Meehan worked hard to deepen the characters. For instance, he says that Tracy's character in the movie almost always gets her way.
And on the stage, she's more sympathetic and has tribulations to overcome.
After starting a riot and landing in jail and losing the boy, in the end, the chunky heroine prevails. At the show's finale, not only does Tracy get the hunk, but all the kids in Baltimore, black and white, finally get to dance together on TV. The musical does retain a few John Waters signatures, his trademark rats scurry across the stage at the beginning. Ultimately, all of the authors agree that what makes Hairspray tick is the heart underneath the humor. Composer Mark Shaman.
It's not a message musical, but the truth is it is. I'm not embarrassed by the fact that there is a message, but it's filled with such joy. I mean, the audience, they all look like they're 8-year-olds in kindergarten on ecstasy. By the end of the show, me and Scott peek out of a curtain from the side in the front of the audience and just love to look at like 1,600 people all with the same look on their face, whether they're white, black, 88, gay, straight, they all have the same look on their face, and it's a joy to look at every night. And luckily, our sensibilities so mesh with John Waters that you really take it personally. So it's not so much a swelled head we get from it as a swelled heart.
And that's a Hallmark ending that even John Waters would approve of. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.